Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X. Glad to have you with us, and we have the opportunity today to talk again, not such good stuff about Indiana basketball as they come off of a weekend Sunday afternoon game at Michigan. Not a good result. Indiana loses 89-65 on the road at Michigan, and this is a game that Indiana, especially defensively, just never really showed up. It was a reasonable deficit of 7 points at halftime. Indiana did trim it down to 5 coming out of second half or coming into the second half of play. And then from that point forward, Indiana never really close in the game. It got worse and worse as the afternoon went on, and Michigan hands Indiana another loss in this Indiana team after a nice win at home over Iowa, just enough to get you encouraged that maybe this team could go on the road and win one, be very competitive at Michigan. That is absolutely not the case. And so it is coming down the stretch, my friends, over the next few weeks. And this Indiana team has its back against the wall really the rest of the way. And I think you got to believe very consistently now that this team is not a road team. It started off as a conference thing. No one would go on the road and win, especially earlier in the year in the Big Ten Conference. But now Indiana proving as this season wears on and wears on that they just don't get it together on the road, and that this team, you just never know what major problem is going to pipe up. They've got a lot of issues that are fairly consistent, but you never know if it's going to be defense or what the exact shooting or what the exact major cause or main cause of a loss and a bad performance is going to be. But defense, I think, was A1 for this team in their loss at Michigan on Sunday afternoon. So interesting time ahead. Indiana finds themselves in an all-too-familiar position with the conference season heading into the final, half of a month or maybe 3 weeks or so before Big Ten Conference tournament play begins. This team has some real work cut out for them, some big road games ahead, and of course a close, two final games at home at the end of this campaign, this regular season campaign for Indiana. So we'll talk more about Indiana and Michigan today. Not a good outing by the Hoosiers. Not much you can take positive, to be quite frank with you. Deron Davis did have a good game. That's something we haven't said for a while. Very big contributor. He was leading the Hoosiers in scoring, a career high of 18 points. 9 of 9 from the field was Deron Davis for Indiana over the weekend. Al Durham Jr. would have also was one of the key players, 17 points in the contest. But I tell you what, 27 points from Devontae Green Thursday at home against Iowa. Ranked Iowa, a big win, a great performance. Devontae was filling it. Danny Green, his brother, was there. Devontae had some praise, but also some tough questions after the press conference. He seemed to handle things well. And what do you know, he comes out at Michigan, 3 points in the loss. It was the 8th Big Ten game for Devontae with 5 or fewer points. It's just amazing to me that there can be such hot and cold and very little consistency with a player, with a senior that clearly for Indiana to do well on a regular basis has to be one of the top scorers and has to be one of the leading shot takers and makers for this Indiana team. So obviously Indiana not only a loss on the road, but a bad loss. This time of year, you're looking for positives as you move forward into these final weeks of the regular season. You know, that we know playing on the road is tough generally in the Big Ten Conference. You're looking for some positives you can take to the next game, and not a lot of positives for this Indiana team, but we'll talk a lot more about the contest coming up here in the show today. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday. More on Indiana-Michigan, some high school basketball notes from over the weekend, an update on Trey Galloway at Culver Academies. He is playing some really good basketball right now. Of course, Galloway, a signee of the Indiana class in 2020, led his team to a big win over the weekend, had a huge performance. We'll talk about that. Also, IU baseball, they open up down south, or did open up down south over the weekend. We'll update you on that. And an interesting note on John Beilein, the former coach of Michigan, who now is the head coach of the Cavaliers. It's surfaced over All-Star break. We'll talk about that. And if we have time at some point, whether it's the headlines or later, a little bit on the All-Star, the NBA All-Star game last night. Don't talk a lot of NBA typically, but do want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game, specifically how the game itself was structured in the fourth quarter last night. If you watched that game or read about that game or saw highlights from that game today, I want to talk a little bit about that at some point in the show today. Later on, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us. Obviously, with Zach on Mondays, we get things started talking IU basketball and more, and we'll recap Indiana's loss at Michigan. We'll talk about what's ahead, and it's the start of a new week. We're getting into mid-February, headed into late February. There's lots of bracketologists out there making their predictions, and of course, we'll keep a watchful eye on Indiana as they move on into Big Ten play, the final segment or so, you could say, of Big Ten play and what their bracket predictions look like from some of those that probably know best. We'll talk some of that with Zach and more. And later in the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, former coach in the area, also the IHSA Executive Board member representing our area. He joins us on Mondays for a chat on local sports. We'll talk some of the high school stuff over the weekend. Chad wants to talk a little bit about the All-Star game and the Elam ending to that last night, if you know what I'm talking about, from the $2 million basketball tournament where they set the target score. That's how you win the game. Very similar format to what the All-Star game in the NBA did last night. So we'll talk some of that with Chad and more coming up a little bit later. That is the show lineup. Don't forget, you can stop by your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany. Receive $20 off any bone-in ham. Also, you can buy one, get one free ham bone on ham bones while supplies last, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. We'd love to get a question or a comment from you. There's a couple ways you can get those to me. Follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can send me a message. You can send me a DM there. You can also follow the show's Facebook page. Search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook. You can like our page, get updates on the show, podcast for the show, about the show as well. And you can also leave us a message there as well. If you want to, maybe it'll get read, used on the air today in today's program. Let's take a look at some Zaxby's headlines for this Monday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And again, talking about Indiana and Michigan over the weekend, Deron Davis, player of the game in the loss, career high 18 points, a perfect 9 of 9 shooting for Deron Davis in the game. Al Durham was next up, right behind Davis with 17 points in the contest as well. When you look at the game for Indiana, obviously Indiana's defense on the ball and otherwise, I thought absolutely terrible in the game, just to be quite honest. Trace Jackson Davis in the game on Sunday afternoon, not near as involved as what you would like to see him be. 5 points. He was 2 of 3 shooting, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, so not a lot of touches for him. He is someone that obviously has been very consistent for Indiana this year, but was not very involved, not very included, it seemed like, in the game against Michigan on Sunday afternoon. And Indiana's road woes continue. Three seasons now, Archie Miller has been the head coach, and the results on the road especially have been underwhelming. I was reading this morning on Inside the Hall their five takeaways from the game. Indiana 7-23, seven wins, 23 losses in true road games under Archie Miller during his time at Indiana. And in Big Ten Conference games on the road, seven wins, 19 losses for Archie Miller-coached Indiana teams on the road. The average margin of defeat in those conference games in which Indiana is 7-19 on the road under Archie Miller has been 12 points or more. The average margin of defeat in those games. So not good when you look at road games, not good when you look at road tenure. We know the Big Ten stuff. It doesn't matter Archie Miller, Tom Crean, who the coach is, but a specifically bad record in true road games. 7-23 overall, 7-19 in the Big Ten Conference under Archie Miller. Let's take a look at some high school results over the weekend. No real surprises. Everybody that you thought might win won, except for one game. Providence on Friday night had a thrilling victory over New Albany. The Bulldogs up and down and up and down. We talk about them and Floyd Central and Jeffersonville and add Bedford to the mix as far as teams that could compete and come out on top at Seymour. But New Albany with a real slip-up as they move into their final handful of games this season. Providence able to win. Providence again under Ryan Miller playing some really good basketball. And most importantly with Providence, they play extremely hard and they got the win in the rivalry game on Friday night. I was, one thing about the game away from both teams, very disappointed in the crowd Friday night. We brag about these rivalry games, the environment for these games. Student sections were both pretty good. But I don't know if it was because it was Valentine's Day or what the deal was, but the upper level in a fairly small gym at Providence, hardly utilized at all. Just a handful of folks up there, some openings in the lower level as well. It was a solid crowd, a decent crowd, but nothing what we've come to expect in recent years, even before Romeo, for New Albany Providence for a rivalry game of that level. So let's hope that everybody was out with Valentine's dinners and other engagements, and that maybe folks are getting ready for the tournament to come out and I'm sure have great support there, but definitely an underwhelming crowd over the weekend. Jeffersonville, they went on the road twice this weekend. They won in overtime against Christian Lander and Evansville Wrights. They won handily against Jennings County on Saturday. Christian Academy won Thursday night against Trinity Lutheran. They won Saturday afternoon against Oldenburg Academy. Christian Academy has now won 8 of their last 9 games as they head toward the postseason coming up. And Silver Creek on the road Friday. It was an interesting game in the Mid-Southern Conference. Scottsburg had not lost in the conference play. Obviously, neither has Silver Creek and the Dragons. After a fairly close game early on, able to pull away in the second half and take a almost clinching step toward the Mid-Southern Conference championship. Floyd Central victorious on Saturday over New Washington in a Saturday early evening game. But nothing real surprising across the area as far as high school results go, except for that Friday win for Providence over New Albany. Speaking of high school stuff, Trey Galloway, IU signee in the class of 2020, great performance over the weekend against Crispus Attucks. It was a big game with statewide attention, and Galloway answered the call in a big way. 35 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists in a game that was absolutely tremendous. Culver Academy's winning on the road at Crispus Attucks, which is a tough place to play. And as we turn for the tournament with the pairing set to come out on Sunday, Culver Academy's Trey Galloway playing some really good basketball, and he will have the opportunity, I would say, to lead Culver coming out of the northern side of the bracket to a deep run in the state tournament. Keep in mind, a year ago, they were in the state championship game against Silver Creek because of the IHSA success formula. They bump up to 4A this year. I think coming out of the north is a little easier most years because you miss a lot of the Metro Indianapolis teams and others that come out of the southern side of the bracket, technically, if you look at things. So we'll see how far Trey Galloway can take his Culver Academy's team, but he's had some big performances here of late, including a really big one over the weekend. Interesting note, I read this last night after the All-Star game. Former Michigan coach John Beilein, I think he was, think he did a tremendous job at Michigan, not just recruiting and finding a niche of a player that fit his Michigan system, but of obviously winning at Michigan and having some great success at Michigan. He left Michigan, a little bit of a surprise. Of course, that made the opening that eventually landed Juwan Howard back to his alma mater. But Beilein to the NBA was very surprising for me. I'm sure as a coach, you want to coach the very best. You want to try to win an NBA World Championship. And obviously at the NBA, that's the best of the best as far as the money goes for coaches. But after the All-Star game last night, there were reports out there that John Beilein at the All-Star break had had conversation with the Cleveland Cavaliers in their front office that this might be it for him. He may not return after the All-Star break as head coach of the Cavaliers. No real clear word on exactly what's going to happen. It looks like for now he's going to stay with the team, but apparently this season will be it. Apparently it's kind of an agreement that this isn't working out, and this will be it for him. So amazing to look at where he was at in college basketball, what he had done at Michigan, and the fact that so quickly after leaving the Michigan program, things already not working out for him in the NBA. You got to wonder, will he resurface in the college game? Will he stay in the pro game, maybe as an assistant coach, or look for another opportunity? Will he retire? Will he do something different? But John Beilein, what a coach, what a program he built at Michigan, and built it a certain way, I think, which was most impressive about what he did there, already having some struggles at Cleveland. And that is just the life of an NBA coach. Even last night in the All-Star game, Frank Vogel, the coach of Team LeBron, I mean, just a number of years ago, fired at Indianapolis as the Pacers coach. Now he's in Orlando and doing well, selected as the All-Star coach. So the ups and downs of a NBA coach, unbelievable, in addition to all the travel and headaches. Of course, the money really good, but interesting and really kind of sad, I think, for someone like John Beilein that deserves lots of opportunities and deserves, I think, any opportunity in coaching. He's proved his ability, but already having some struggles at Cleveland and does not look like he'll be back there. Indiana baseball opening up the season with their first series. It was a 2-1 loss at Louisiana State over the weekend. Of course, Louisiana State, number 11, always a really good baseball program there. And Indiana's season underway will be interesting to see. I think some pretty decent things expected from this Indiana baseball program under second-year coach Jeff Mercer, but they lose their first series 2-1 against LSU to open the season. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU at Michigan and a lot more on IU hoops coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with me as we recap Indiana's bad performance at Michigan, a loss for this Indiana team. We'll talk not only about the game, but what's next, and of course, with an eye on the NCAA tournament chances for this team as well with Zach in this segment. Zach, a number of things did not go exactly well for this Indiana team Sunday afternoon in Ann Arbor, but I think chief among those that stood out to me was how poor the defense was, especially on the ball. Indiana got beat time and time again. Their defense sliced through time and time again. It was a bad showing defensively, I think, right out of the gate for this Indiana team.
You know, I think I mean, Michigan in particular, and I know it's not John Beilein's Michigan, but obviously a lot of the personnel are players he recruited and developed, and you, when you consider Juwan Howard's background, you would expect a lot of the concepts to remain sort of similar. Michigan's given Indiana a lot of trouble, you know, since Archie Miller arrived, in its ability to space the floor, kind of pull apart that pack line defense. And I think it's a game where, more than almost any other, Indiana just cannot afford to be soft on the ball, because if you're soft on the ball, then you force your bigs to really, you know, Indiana will always edge a lot of screens. That's just part of the defense. But if you're soft on the ball, you're asking too much of your bigs. And if you're asking too much of your bigs, then either A, you know, they're going to get beat back into the lane on slips and, you know, rolls and kind of those crashing moves to the basket for easy buckets. And we saw too much of that yesterday. Or B, you're going to force whoever is either guarding kind of off on the off ball on the wing or off ball in the corner to come over and try to help at least discourage the drive, the pass, or try to trouble the big if he makes the catch. But that obviously leaves a shooter open in the corner. And, you know, we can go back and look at Michigan the last couple of years and then look at yesterday's performance. And I think you see a lot of similar themes. And it's just one where, you know, somebody in my job probably tries too hard sometimes not to overly single out, you know, one player, a small group of players, but it was a game where Indiana's guards really just let them down in their inability to stop the ball, to stop the ball from touching the paint, to stop drivers from just kind of pushing through them, pushing past them regularly. And that required Indiana to extend kind of beyond its capabilities defensively. And that's what you get. You wind up giving up something like 1.44 points per possession, 89 points, and just, you know, a runaway defeat. I think that was Indiana's worst. In fact, I know it was Indiana's worst defensive performance in a game that did not go to overtime in terms of points allowed all season.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. You know, one thing that Indiana has been pretty consistently good at, or reasonable at most times, has been rebounding. And even yesterday, not only were they out-rebounded, it was a big margin by which Michigan out-rebounded Indiana. Just kind of sums up the day that obviously the defense a problem, rebounding an issue yesterday, but all the way around, especially in that second half, once Indiana came out, scored, cut it to five, things just really went bad all the way around.
Yeah, and defense, excuse me, rebounding, which is an element of defense, is probably the thing most often cited by Archie Miller in terms of, you know, him kind of judging effectively whether or not his team is really engaged the way it needs to be from an intangibles perspective, energy, focus, you know, effort, things that you obviously can't write down in a box score, but you can kind of attach certain statistical performances to those qualities. And I mean, Michigan is a perfectly reasonable rebounding team. If you look at their numbers, you look at their percentages, you look at who they put on the floor, they're neither terrible at it nor great at it. If you finish minus 16 to Michigan, even on the road, on the glass, I mean, that's reflective of a performance that's just in absolutely no way enough from an effort perspective. Again, from an intangible perspective, and that is suggestive of an idea that it's really easy and lazy, frankly, to say that Indiana gave up or showed no heart or whatever. But I think really what it was Indiana just did not have the fortitude and the resolve to resist. That when things went bad, Indiana just kind of checked out collectively. And we've seen that in other road games as well. It's not like that's anything terribly new, which of course is maybe speaks to some bigger issues about the way, and this is something I tried to write about a little bit Sunday, about the ways in which Archie Miller and his staff are or are not connecting with their players right now. And, you know, certainly if the coaches aren't blameless and they're not blameless and that sort of thing, the players can't be either. The players are just not embracing it at just such a fundamental level that they simply can compete to win basketball games. You know, if that's not something that you're capable of doing at this level, then, you know, that speaks to some more kind of intangible problems with your makeup as well as a team, as a locker room. And I'm not trying to sound like this is all doom and gloom. Listen, Indiana's not having the season they would have hoped in some respects. But Indiana's also still 16-9. Let's not act like they're 9-16. Let's not act like they're last in the Big Ten. You know, I think they're in a position still where if they win out at home, they're in the NCAA tournament probably somewhat comfortably. But it's also, you can't ignore the weight of evidence of what this team does, particularly on the road, when it hits some adversity and when maybe some of its more intangible qualities are called into question. It struggles, and it struggles in ways that on February 17th, if you're still struggling like that, then that's probably just kind of who you are as a team. And if that's who you are as a team, then I think everybody involved is probably going to have to do a little bit of, you know, intensive self-evaluation, whether it be, you know, through the course of the season. That's harder to do just because of the relentlessness of the grind, but, you know, possibly more just kind of as you move into the off season, whenever and wherever this season ends. Because I mean, you know, these kinds of performances obviously just aren't enough.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU basketball, the subject, one of the highlights of the day was Deron Davis. He had a career-high 18 points for Indiana in the loss. It's been a while since we saw Deron be one of the key players in the lineup for Indiana and, of course, have that sort of scoring output. It's obviously a career-high. Your thoughts on what he did right, his success in the game individually, and will we maybe see more Deron Davis and more touches for Deron Davis after a good game against Michigan moving forward?
I mean, I think certainly you could say he's earned it, and I think, you know, you even think back, he gave Indiana some good minutes against Iowa. He gave Indiana some good minutes, if maybe some inefficient minutes. But, you know, 6 points and five rebounds off the bench in an ugly loss at Penn State. You know, he was good against Maryland at home, not necessarily in terms of big stats, but he came in and gave Indiana some quality minutes off the bench. Now, you know, does that add up to him taking somebody's starting spot? I don't know about that. You know, I mean, I think his season Saturday or Sunday, I think, was still a season high in minutes, which is 19. And it's also worth pointing out, in 19 minutes, he had four fouls. And so you're kind of riding the hot hand there. And I mean, listen, 18 points, a career high for him, 9 of 9 ties, a program record for most makes in a single game without a miss. But the things that have always held Deron Davis off the floor have been injuries and foul trouble primarily. And some of it, you know, a little bit of kind of athletic matchups and things like that. That's a little bit, I think, less of a concern for Indiana this year because they've got more options in terms of wing players. And they've also got other bigs that they can put out there. But, you know, four fouls in 19 minutes, you look at that and you say, well, if he's going to get in that kind of foul trouble, then it's still kind of going to be a tightrope, you know, that you're walking with him. 3 fouls in 10 minutes against Iowa, 3 fouls in 9 minutes at Ohio State. I think that if you're looking for something, it's maybe similar to Race Thompson's performance against Iowa. If I'm Archie Miller and I'm looking for something to really build on with Deron Davis, it's the idea that if ever this team, and I recognize it's mid-February now, you know, they're running out of time, but if ever this team does kind of put all the pieces together to try and realize its potential, one of the things we heard about Archie Miller from the earliest days of the season saying was, you know, he thought he could have a really deep team. And his point was not necessarily that he would just have depth for depth's sake, but that it would be impossible to put a position group into foul trouble because they were just too deep. It would be impossible to create real matchup problems for Indiana, because Indiana could play small, it could play big, it could do whatever it wanted. It would be impossible to put Indiana in situations where, unlike last season, because a little bit of inexperience and certainly because of injury problems, you could see Indiana in situations where teams were just able to just put them in all sorts of trouble because, you know, Indiana didn't have the bodies to match up. Indiana could match up with anybody, and Indiana could keep all of its legs fresh, and Indiana could get into the last 6-8 minutes of games and have options the other coach didn't have. I thought you saw that against Michigan State, for example, you know, which is a game that comes right after I'm mixing up Michigan State and Ohio State, but even still in that Michigan State game, you know, that's one of those where does Michigan State run out of a little bit of gas that Indiana still got, because Indiana is able to keep rotating and keep legs fresh and keep bodies fresh. And if you're looking for something to build on with Deron Davis, beyond just his individual performance, he was assertive. Obviously the finishing numbers are great. And you know, you should always allow a senior to enjoy a career day. I think what you can build on with that is saying, if you can continue to build this bench consistency for us, then that just makes us deeper. That gives us more options. And that maybe makes Archie Miller a little bit more confident to turn to Deron Davis on a day when, for example, Joey Brunk only 3 of 10 from the floor. And I don't think Brunk was horrible, but you can just look at it and say, okay, you know, Joey's just not really finding his way into this game in the way that Indiana needs him to. So we can turn to Deron now. And next week we'll go back to Joey and he'll have a good game and Deron won't play as much. But the whole point is that the depth is kind of enhanced. And I think that's maybe where Indiana can get the most out of Deron Davis.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, 6 games left for this Indiana team at Minnesota next, followed by a return to Assembly Hall to take on Penn State. This team, 16-9 overall, 6-8 in the Big Ten Conference, a good win against Iowa, followed by a bad performance at Michigan, which we've been talking about. Zach, from this point forward, your estimation on what Indiana has to do to get into the NCAA tournament. That's kind of the big question, especially at the start of each week between now and the big dance. You touched on it some earlier in one of your other responses, one of your other answers, but I'm curious if you'll spell out your thoughts on what Indiana has to do from this point moving forward to get in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, I really do think, and I look at bracket matrix a lot this time of year. For anybody who doesn't know, I think we've probably talked about it before. It's an aggregation of bracket projections from across, you know, the spectrum. Like, I mean, the ones you expect, like Lunardi and Jerry Palm and Eamon Brennan, but then also, or I guess Eamon actually does Bubble Watch. Brian Bennett does it, brackets for The Athletic. But then also, I mean, you know, people you've never heard of, people who just run their own websites or do it for fun or whatever. Indiana is the first 11 seed right now, according to Bracket Matrix. They are, they are in 86 of the 93 brackets that the Matrix is kind of updated with on Monday morning. And it's hard for me to imagine a world where if Indiana simply wins out at home, and I wouldn't necessarily say that that's the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, look at what, like Penn State is basically, I mean, the Big Ten title race right now kind of looks like Penn State and Maryland, frankly. But if Indiana wins out at home, that gives them a win over Penn State, a win over Wisconsin, and a win over Minnesota. It is hard for me to imagine that not being enough. And I recognize when people watch this team and they see performances like Sunday and they say, how can you think that this team is an NCAA tournament team? And I understand that. But what I would suggest is to just go look at who else is in that mix. Again, you look at bracket matrix's first four out right now are Utah State out of the Mountain West, Georgetown, Minnesota, which is 12-12 right now, and NC State. And go look at those resumes, look at their wins, look at their losses, and recognize that, if nothing else, Indiana has beaten some good teams. It's been mostly at home, but Indiana's beaten some good teams. It's gone on the road for some quantity, not quality, but quantity over quality neutral site wins. and it doesn't have any bad losses. And if, you know, I think that this, you know, Wednesday's game, I mean, at this point, you would be completely justified in not trusting this team on the road. But Wednesday's game is Indiana's best remaining shot at a Big Ten road win, I would argue. Win that, and it doesn't lock you in, but find a way to beat a Minnesota team that's 12-12, and, you know, 31 in KenPom, losses to Utah, DePaul, you know, 6-8 in conference play. My point is, not a Minnesota team that is by any means elite, but win that one, and that's a quad one road win, and then you come home and hold serve, and you're at 20 wins, and you're in. And, you know, the best way I can describe it is, I understand anybody who looks at this team sometimes and says, boy, I just don't know if this team feels like it deserves to be in the NCAA tournament. I can appreciate anybody who says that. But I say that there's probably, you'd be surprised at the number of teams on the bubble that deserve it less. And so just do pay respect to what Indiana's been able to do that, quite frankly, a lot of other teams, both in Power Five conferences and even in some mid-major conferences. It's not like there's four or five Missouri Valley teams out there with great resumes just banging on the door asking for a chance. You know, respect what Indiana's still been able to do this year.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, great stuff. Indiana, lots of work cut out. It's going to be an interesting next few weeks for sure for this team and program moving forward. As always, thanks for helping us get the week started here on the show. We'll talk with you next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Always good stuff from Zach Osterman to begin the week. And again, very meaningful games, each and every one, this rest of the way for this Indiana team, including, I think, an interesting game at Minnesota. It's on the road coming up Wednesday, but obviously it's a game that Indiana can win. We'll see what happens. A road win would be big for this team, as you just heard Zach say. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, former coach, currently IHSA executive board member representing our area. We'll talk some high school basketball notes. Chad was busy this weekend. He hosted a very, very good and competitive 3A girls basketball regional at Charlestown. And we'll talk a little bit about the NBA All-Star game last night as well, in addition to some local stuff. Stay with us. Chad Gilbert's next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment here on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert is my guest always in this segment. Chad is an IHSA executive board member representing Southern Indiana, former coach, currently Charlestown's athletic director, and he joins us to talk a lot of local sports headlines each Monday. Chad, you were busy, man. It's been a busy couple of weeks hosting some postseason basketball. You had a terrific girls regional, including the championship game with Salem winning in very exciting fashion. You've hosted some great games over the last few weeks from sectional into regional. The only thing I got to say about hosting on Saturday is that no Clark and Floyd County teams remaining. It was obviously Salem and Washington County, not far away, but locals not active over the weekend. They all were eliminated in the sectional.
Well, Matt, that just tells you how good Southern Indiana basketball is. And, you know, you look at the 3A level, which is what we host right now. Every team, we've hosted this regional for the last 6 years. Every team that has gotten out of our regional, except for one, Salem last year, has made it to the state finals. And Salem's put themselves in a position right now to do that as well. And if you think about the Mid-Southern Conference, the semi-state at Jeffersonville has two Mid-Southern Conference teams, Brownstown and Salem, who are competing for a chance to go and play at Bankers Life, which says a whole lot about the conference. And you think about the conference in many sports, All right, well, let's just use girls basketball, for instance. You know, it may be the premier conference in Southern Indiana girls basketball, because if you run down through the conferences, every team in the conference has made it to the state finals with the exception of Clarksville, Silver Creek, and Salem. Salem has a chance this week to get that monkey off their back and play for a state championship, which I think the winner of the South has a legitimate chance to win it, Matt. Then next year, Silver Creek has everyone back, and they're going to be pushing for a chance to win and to get that monkey off their back, and we'll have every team in the conference except for the exception of Clarksville right now who have made it to the state championship. That says a lot about our league. That says a lot about the coaches in our conference and the kids and the tradition that girls basketball in the Mid-Southern Conference has done over the years.
Yeah, no question about it. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, moving from local girls basketball regionals to more of a national-type topic, the NBA All-Star game last night. I don't watch a lot of NBA, sure don't talk a lot of NBA on this program, maybe outside of a Pacers bit here and there or Victor Oladipo update here or there. But I was really curious, as a guy that loves basketball, likes putting stuff together, organizing events, things like that, very curious about the All-Star game last night, more so because of how they were keeping score. They kept score within each quarter, so you tried to win the quarter. They tied in charities and things to that, which obviously is always a good thing. But basically, they used or copied a modified version of what you and I have talked about before on this program. We actually had the guy on one summer when things were a little slow that started the basketball tournament, the TBT, $2 million tournament. Indiana's had a couple alumni-type teams get in that tournament, although they've not found any real deep success in the tournament. Winner takes $2 million, but this year or maybe last year, they changed the ending that the final period is not a – time, it's not, there's not a clock, there's not a countdown, there's a target score that's figured based on a formula. Of course, really not a formula last night in the All-Star game. They just added 24 points or to the total of the score of the team, obviously, that was ahead in honor of Kobe Bryant as well. But what a finish to the NBA All-Star game. I never dreamed I would be talking about it on this show on Monday, but those guys went hard. They were arguing calls. They were playing unbelievably hard on the court. All because of the format of the game, essentially, which was really cool and something different. Change is tough. Change is not always good, but I thought it was definitely an interesting change for an all-star type format last night that I really appreciated and enjoyed watching.
Well, Matt, I think everyone appreciated it. Everyone enjoyed watching it except for three people. You know who those three people were, right? The officials.
Yes.
My goodness, they went at those guys hard. They were trying to win you. When the officials at the monitor, they've got sweat coming down their brow. That wasn't from getting up and down the court. That was out of stress. And those guys were putting it on. Every call mattered. Every play mattered. And it was one of the most competitive, most enjoyable All-Star games I've ever seen. You know, and I liked them back in the day when Bird and Dr. J and Magic and all those guys were playing. But, you know, those referees, they're thinking, this is an opportunity for me to earn a little extra money, hang around the All-Star game. You know, it's going to be a 170 to 162 game. They got thrown right in the pressure cooker. And it was a great game to watch. It was, you know, one of those things that, you know, you want to wake up your wife or whatever next year and say, you got to watch this game. It had that type of feel to it. It was like an NCAA tournament game, an NBA playoff game. It had that type of competitiveness, that feel that only those types of games bring about. And, you know, and you talked about the tournament and the Elam ending that it went through. And the NBA, those guys, they don't miss a beat. You know, putting 24 points in the fourth quarter in honor of Kobe Bryant, I thought that was very special and very cool and very thoughtful. And to those guys to do it and finish it the way they did, outstanding. You know, these guys are doing everything they can to score. And what was amazing is how hard the defense was doing to not let them score. And the game ended with Anthony Davis at the free throw line, had to make one of two, missed the first, and hit the second. You know, you're talking about a lot of pressure on those free throws because if he misses, you know, the other team has a chance to score down at the other end. And I think that's something that is good. You know, I guess the one drawback was people say, hey, you need to finish it on a live basket. That's all good unless you're that guy at the free throw line. That puts some pressure on you. That's one thing we used to do in pickup games. Whoever hit the game-winning basket, they had to hit a free throw for that team to get off the court. That puts a little pressure on those free throw shooters because free throws, as we both know, are what win you close games down the stretch.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Just an unbelievable finish to the game last night. It'll be curious to see if that format sticks with the All-Star game. I think it works well with the TBT tournament in the summer. I've even thought, you know, how cool would it be on one night of pretty meaningless high school summer league basketball in June with some great matchups, Louisville and Louisville schools, Southern Indiana schools going at it in our summer league. What if we had a Elam ending night to that just for fun to see how people liked it and how maybe it changed the end of some games and the competitiveness and the way that coaches and players approach it. But it'll be curious to see if that catches on and if they keep that format in the NBA All-Star game moving forward.
No, the problem with the Elam ending in high school, if you got two bad high school teams, that game may last forever. You have to set the Elam ending at about six for it to end. But, no, it would be kind of cool to do that. It would be kind of cool, you know, maybe have a high school tournament where you kind of throw some of those things in, just a little curveball to make it a little bit more exciting. And, of course, we both know how high school coaches are. Every play is important. Every game is important. Every minute's important. And I get that as well. But it would be something, like you said, in the summer league to throw – a curveball at you a little bit to make it a little bit more exciting, but it's something that I think you and I as fans appreciate. And I'd be curious, you know, as I've not watched any TV this morning, but I'd be curious how the players reacted, you know, how the Dan Patrick shows reacted to it, how Party Interruption reacts to it, because I think you'll get a positive response out of everybody.
Chad Gilbert with me always on Monday. We talk lots of basketball, local sports as well. Chad, we are headed into a great time. Obviously, college basketball, talking a lot today about the Big Ten Conference and Indiana and what's left for the Hoosiers, entering a very difficult stretch, but an interesting stretch for this Indiana team. And, of course, I think the Big Ten Tournament in Indianapolis is going to be fantastic this year. No telling who is going to win that thing. We've got high school basketball girls tournament into the final weeks of that. Boys, we find out the pairings on Sunday, gearing up for the big post-pairings show that Lee Kelly and I always host here on the Big X. Fun month or so ahead for all of us basketball nuts here in the area.
Oh, Matt, you think of that. You mentioned everything. You left one thing out. And I know it's on your mind, but it's foreshadowing down the road. Those are all things that lead up to it. The weekend of the state finals, Indianapolis also is hosting the Midwest Region Finals.
Ooh.
So there's going to be some great basketball up in Indianapolis that weekend. You tie that in with a Hall of Fame induction on Wednesday, you've got a great weekend. For basketball guys like us, it's going to be a great 4 or 5 days.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert with me always on Mondays. Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week.
Matt, really appreciate it. And thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. That wraps things up on our Monday program. Back with you Tuesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.